We are dealing with the kingdom of heaven. The main issue we've been dealing with is how the kingdom of heaven deals with issues in regards to speed and how heaven expects you to respond. So we're dealing with issues of divine urgency, prophetic acceleration, and executing God's business, King's business, with throne-backed momentum. If we have to achieve anything in God's kingdom, it requires a particular level of speed. And not only you should say, God, I want this thing to be done fast, but you too have to be fast. The kingdom of heaven does not just require you to seek things to be done very fast. So we looked at different things. Number one, we said the kingdom of heaven, there is a haste operation, which is number one, speed number one. The haste operation. In this, it means that you have to be fast because God is fast. If we read the scripture, we are going to find out that everything is so fast. When God said, let there be light, he didn't wait for 10 years. There was light. In fact, even Jesus himself, I told you before, when he died, when Jesus died, he didn't take forever. On the third day, he resurrected. Because in God's kingdom, things happen extremely fast. You hear it? Now, imagine that God wants to do something on you. And you are not aware. And all you are aware is what you want God to do for you. So we have people who do not even know what God wants them to do for him. And we have people who God has given them ideas. I'm going to tell you, most people until today, they have not come to realization that most projects, businesses, that they think in their mind, they are God planted. They still think it's their idea. Are you here? They still think what? They still think it's their idea. Well, have you noticed in the whole Bible, great people who were great, whatever they were doing, you find out it was an inspiration from God. And when they do it, the Bible says, and he succeeded, for God was with him. Are you here, right? Are you here, right? An actual thing like farming. In Genesis 26, from verse 12, what does the scripture say?
Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him.
Now, we see from the scripture that Isaac went into agriculture. But when you check from verse 1 and 2, and more especially verse 2, God was involved. Now, check verse 2.
Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you.
Okay, verse 3.
Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendant, I will give all these lands. and I'll perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father.
So God says, stay over this land. Are you there?
Yes.
Now, it's not like God came from heaven and he was standing by a mountain and there was a burning bush and God was like, Isaac, stay. No, it was just as you think. The same way you are thinking now, I want to do this, I want to start that, I want to do this. It's how God puts it. That's the meaning of being born again. Because before you were born again, you were thinking as you. Your ideas were either carnal. Either they were coming from you. Or maybe sometimes it's God, maybe sometimes the devil. But when you got born again, you got a new life. You are not you. The old you is gone. And behold, a new you has come. So your ideas, your identity, your thinking, it is a download, a pure wisdom from above. So what happens is this. The moment you are not aware, you end up making errors. The Bible says you make mistakes because you do not know the scriptures. That's what the Bible says. It says you err because you do not understand the scriptures. So we have people who are born again, but they still make carnal decisions. They still think it's them thinking. This is why the Bible says for those who are led, not everybody, not all born again, for those who are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. Those, only those. In other words, your business, your endeavors must be completely be committed to God, and you must pray. Even if you're trying to do something, whether it's a business, whether it's a project, you must pray for direction. If you don't get direction, people do not understand the difference between direction and clarity. You can be confused. You can be confused because you lack direction. But you can pray for clarity. Because the difference is this: direction and clarity. Direction is when you don't know between doing school and doing business. You lack direction. Hello? Now, you have made a choice, or God has led you to do business. Now you need clarity. How? What kind of business? When to start? That's clarity. So we have people who pray for direction and they get it, but they still think they don't have direction. No. Now you don't have clarity, not direction. You got it, but you are lacking clarity. And if there is something you have to pray for most, is clarity. Most people have direction, but they do not have exactly. So we have so many people right now who have direction, but they are making mistakes. Because now they do not have clarity how to do it, how to execute it. Right. We're getting somewhere. So today I'm trying to make you understand who you are and how you do it. So imagine this, that Abraham leaves his father. He leaves his mother. He goes to a new land. And God says, there, I will what? I shall bless you. Abraham goes in a place and God blesses him there. We hear that scripture saying what? He went into mining. Abraham was into mining. According to Genesis 13, verse 2, he was into mining. If you think you are the only person doing mining, you must be joking. Abraham was
very rich in livestock.
He was into agriculture.
In silver.
All right. Mining.
And in gold.
And in gold.
Mining.
So Abraham, he was into mining. Why he became successful? Because it was not just his idea. It's like people, all we take from Abraham is just faith and righteousness without money. Abraham had both. Abraham had what? He had righteousness, he had faith, and he had money. So, from the scripture, you see, people be like, oh, be like Abraham. It's like, people be like, I wish I could be like Abraham. It's what people think. The man was an extraordinary strategist. He was not just a guy who was just moving around praying. No, the man was an extraordinary. The man could plan. The man could execute. He knew how to do business. Read your scripture. That even the kings came to him and they said, we want to do business with you. And he refused. He said, if you cannot be my business partner, because if you become a business partner, that's in Genesis 14. In chapter 13, he's rich in mining and in farming. Chapter 14, a king came. He said, I want you to be my business partner. He said, no. If you become a business partner, one day you will say, I made Abraham rich. He said, not you. So the man even knew who to partner and not who to partner with. I'm talking to somebody, right? So now, where things get wrong. Where things get wrong is when you think what you are doing is yours. Abraham did not think what he was doing was his. He knew what he was doing was of God and was from God. Do you know, in those days, Abraham was moving in the bush looking for a city. He knew there is heaven. He knew how beautiful heaven was. To an extent that he began to look for it physically on earth. The Bible says he was looking for a city whose builder and architect was God. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Where are you going, Abraham? I'm looking for where God is. Until he met a man, when he was looking for a city, until he met a man, king of Salem, Melchizedek, who said, blessed be Abraham. He said, possessor of heaven and earth. So the whole earth right now is in the title deed of Abraham. No, you're not getting it. The whole heaven is under the title deed of Abraham. To an extent that Jesus confirmed it when he gave a parable of a poor man and a rich man. That when a poor man died, he was found in the bosom of Abraham in heaven. Because the man became a possessor. Are you here? The man was looking for a city. Now, I'm talking to somebody right here. Now, imagine that what you are doing right now takes over. That even in heaven, they know you. On earth, your project is known. And until God says what you are doing, it is a possessor. Ko raba shanta ramande. Somebody said, I need this anointing. Possessor. You know the meaning of possessor? It's possession. Do you know how Abraham blessed he was? Because the man was so much attuned to the things of God that his business, his projects, everything was under the alignment of divine guidance and clarity. Until in Genesis 24, verse 1, do you know what the Bible says?
Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things.
Did you hear that? Not some things. Everything of Abraham was blessed. And Abraham was blessed in everything. Other scripture says in everything, everything. You can get that scripture for me. Abraham was blessed in everything. Everything. He makes an idea, the idea is blessed. Because he was not just moving. Because people are moving. All right? In Good News Translation.
Abraham was now very old. And the Lord had blessed him in everything he did.
Did you hear that? Not what he prayed for, but what he did. Everything he did. Business, blessed. Whatsoever ideas he comes up, blessed. How was he doing it? Blessed in everything. a man became a possessor of heaven and earth. And right now we have got you who's through praying, Father, Lord, I want my things to move. I want my things to move. God says, I don't make individual things to move. I make my kingdom move. As long as what you're doing is not aligned with my kingdom, it will never move. Until you say, God, this is yours. Because God does not just ride on things. You give them to him. Just like you gave your heart to him. No matter how beautiful, handsome, how rich, poor you are, God will not just come in your heart. No, you have to accept him. You have to invite him in your heart as your Lord and personal Savior. Then he comes in. But that's not enough. You have to invite him in your, what you do, in your projects, in everything you do. Then God can come as well and take the lead. I'm talking to somebody right here. So now, why do you want God to come over your marriage? Why do you want God to come over your business? There must be a kingdom agenda. Ah, yeah. I'm talking to somebody right here. There must be what? A kingdom agenda. Because God will not bless Abraham for nothing. Because God has to bless Abraham with money, with prosperity. Because God knows he needs an army. Do you know he had an army of 400 soldiers? Do you know this? A man was not a king, yet he had an army of 400 soldiers under his salary. And somebody said, Major One, hey, if you're a prophet, why are you using two bodyguards? Be like Abraham was a humble. I said, do you know he had 400 soldiers? Oh, you don't even know. You're talking about me, I have two. Abraham had 400 soldiers. You mess up with Abraham. Read what the Bible. At one time, people messed up with him. They went and captured his cousin. Read what he did. You think you went to the mountain and said, God, send the fire. No. Man had to speak. There was a reason why God gave him money. Even God was watching to say, Abraham, handle the matter. I gave you money to handle issues like this. The soldiers you employed, let them do the job. And the Bible says those soldiers divided. You have no idea. In Genesis 14, are you there? Verse 14. Now, when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained, not just people, trained servants who were born in his own house. And went in pursuit as far as Dan. In verse 15, he divided, you see that? I told you. His forces against them by night. And he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. In pursuit of one person who was captured. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. In verse 17, when the people heard about the victory, what happened? And the king of Sodom, that's where now he came, he said, no, we have heard how skilled your soldiers are. I want peace with you. And he refused. So, are you here, somebody, right? So understand this. So why would God give Abraham what he gave him? Because God knew he was creating a nation called Israel. So he has to give him all the resources to defend the upcoming nation. So when you are sitting where you are, you should be thinking, when I die, what would I have left for the kingdom, that even if I'm in heaven, it will still be impactful? What contribution would I have done that even if I'm not here, it will still be moving? Such are the minds that God blesses, that God says, I'm putting my money on this woman. Such ideas that God says, I'm opening every door. Read the scripture. Anyone who had that mentality, what did God say? I give you keys. When you open, no one will close. And when you close, no one will open. It's not everybody who was given such an opportunity in the Bible. It's only those who had a kingdom agenda. There are those who are not closing. Am I talking to somebody here? And the scripture says, and their doors shall open continually so that men can bring wealth. Yes. If my younger brother can come to me and say, I want money from you, I'll ask him, what is it for? Hello? If he says, no, I want this amount of money. If he's mentioned something small, I can give it to him. But if it's a lot, I want to know exactly. What is it? What is he going to do with it? You have to explain yourself. Oh, I'm telling somebody, right? You can't just give the money. You have to explain yourself. What will you use it for? So yeah, he has to say, no, I want to start a project, a business. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want ba 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 ba. They'll be like, ah, yeah, 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 yeah. In fact, that's a good idea. Then I take car, boom. So we have people who are praying until today. All they want is they want to pay fees. They want to use the money. They want to buy houses. They want to do this. They want to do. And the Bible says you ask and you don't have. The reason is you want to use it for your own purposes. That's why I want to give you. God wants a prayer that is attached for his kingdom. Imagine right now if we are sending a team. Now we are saying next week we are sending 14 people. They are going to India for crusades. We want people there to receive Jesus. Imagine we should be talking about another team is going to Canada, another team is going this place. Imagine it's your money. Am I telling somebody? Imagine it's your money and you come and say, prophet, I want this revival to be done. If you have got people you can send in this country, this is the money. I'm talking to somebody right here. Imagine right now if we had a group of people who are saying now we are donating food in that country. People are starving with hunger. When South Sudan right now, you know, people are suffering in South Sudan. Imagine we have got people sent there, a team for 1 week. And there is your $1 million. This should be why you need money, why you want your business to be blessed. Not just because I want it, I want my life. Oh, my life. It's all about me, I, and myself. Everything is me, 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 me. Oh, I, me, 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 me. Oh, even prayer. Is it a forgive me? Or give me? There have to be a me somewhere. Raise your hand and say, in the name of Jesus. I dedicate everything about me to the King. Say it again. In the name of Jesus, I dedicate whosoever I am and whatsoever I have to the King. In the name of Jesus. Say it again. In the name of Jesus. We need to change. And this is the biggest area now. Where people are born again, and when they're born again, they just continue in church like this, praying ignorantly. If you could hear what your tongues are saying and what is in your mind, there are two different things. One day I'll pray that God should make you hear your own tongues. You see, your tongues will be praying a different prayer than what you are thinking in your mind you are praying for. The moment a person begins to understand that is beyond just saying, I'm born again. It's all about knowing you are in a kingdom. Whatsoever you have, it's in the kingdom. Whatsoever you are praying for, everything. It's just an idea of knowing I am in the kingdom. Everything I do is for the King. That changes everything. Number one, you will operate in haste. We read the scripture, 1 Samuel, right? Chapter what? 21, verse 8. The Bible says, for the king's business requires haste. In other words, whatsoever you do for the king, God wants you to do it in what? In haste. Haste, it means what? In a hurry. You have to be fast. It has to be dealt with agency, speed. In other words, when God says, I want you to do that, God does not give you the necessities. When God spoke to David, you'll be a king. God didn't give him weapons. God didn't give him an army. But he understood the king's business requires what? Haste. The next thing, David, before he became a king, he had an army. Because he knew, I will never become that without being armed. He had advisors. Read your Bible. The man had advisors as early as possible. Immediately, he befriended the son of a king, Jonathan. So he begins to understand about the kingdom affairs. Not only that, he even married the king's daughter. Because the man was so fast. You, if you get the prophets now, you'll be a king. You won't even marry, not even a cousin of a king. Too slow. The man knew and he understood the assignment. This is what God said. For this to be done, I must be fast. And the man was fast. Imagine God tells you, you will be a millionaire, you will help the poor, you will help the church, you will support, you will do this, and you are still sitting like this. This is a moment to pray for divine clarity. God, I have an idea of this business. Give me clarity. How would I do it? Amen. Your friend Isaac was about to leave the land of the Chaldeans to go to Egypt, but divine direction stopped him. Say, you're not going because I have a purpose over this land. You're not moving. You are venturing into farming. And the man entered into agriculture because God had spoken. The man had divine clarity. Next thing, in verse 12, the man became wealthy, rich. In verse 13, the Bible says he even moved forward, for God was with him. When you continue reading it, the man went into what? Water supply. Maybe you didn't hear it. Remember the place had a drought? And two things which were scarce, food and water. And the man who had them both was Isaac. The whole area, the man, if bottled water could be there at that time, it means the only company that was selling was Isaac's company. Because the Bible says he's the only one who opened wells. I'm talking to somebody right here. Divine clarity. The man was not just sitting in his house praying to God, your God of my father Abraham. No! The man was moving. He had ideas that were working. For God was with him. He understood God has a purpose and I have to become a millionaire for the purpose. But the problem is the man had clarity. He looked for direction. He had direction. Then he had clarity. You can have direction without clarity. So the man had direction. I'm talking to somebody here. And then he had what? Clarity. So these are two different things. Now the man begins to operate. What he's doing is in the kingdom. I want you to get into a level when you are doing your business, your plans, your projects. God should even say, she's a woman of my heart. He is a man of my heart, after my own heart. God should give you credits in the spirit. God should say, well done, my son. God should say, well done, my daughter. Am I talking to somebody right here? But people will die like normal men without knowing who they are in the spirit. And because we always have people who, even though they are born again, they still think it's their business. They still think it's their idea. They still think they are so slow. First speed in the spirit realm is called haste. David, he said, for the king's business requires haste. I have to be fast. He even forgot spears. He said, I came as I am right now. For the king's business requires. I'm talking somebody right here, right? So they, let's talk about number five. So we're looking at contractual speed and the settlement. So contractual. Even slow starters on this one can finish first. In other words, God puts up a contract. So, in other words, God decides to make you get settled, or things have to be settled. In this one, God's pace in contracts or projects is not governed by bureaucracy, processes, procedures, but by prophetic favor. So what God does, he sets up a time. So why are we calling it contractual? Because you need to understand the time. If God says, I want you to do it now, or I want you to do it next year, if you miss that time, it will not happen. God's time is very important. What is needed in this realm of speed is not basically prayer. It's all basically your alignment. Are you here? The presence of David at the battlefield, it was just at the right time. If David did not go at the battlefield at that time, he couldn't have killed Goliath and he couldn't have become a king. It was that day that the whole country sang a song, this one is better to be our king. But the key statement is, he was at the battle at the right time. Imagine you, there is a spiritual warfare. At that night, God wants you to wake up and pray, and you don't. Imagine God wants you to fast, and you miss that time. Imagine God wants you to give, and you miss that time. Peter was at the lake fishing at the right time. Jesus found him there at the right time. If he was not there that night, what kept him there to be fishing the whole night is because he caught nothing. So he kept on trying, kept on trying, kept on trying until Jesus found him. And some of you, there are things you've been trying for years and they were not happening until God found you. I'm talking to somebody right here. If Peter had caught fish that night, in the morning, he couldn't have been there. If he caught fish by 10 p.m., the man could have left. But what kept him was, maybe I'll catch something. So he kept on trying the whole night. Jesus, until Jesus found him. The man was at a time, at a right time, until he became the head, the archapostle. The man, Jesus, left the whole church in his hands. Just because of being at the time, at the right time. If Saul did not go to meet a prophet by the name Samuel, at that day, he would never become a king. When he went to meet the prophet Samuel, the prophet said, welcome home. He said, hey, God has anointed you to be the ruler over his inheritance. The man said, ah, but I've come here looking for donkeys. Said, no. The donkeys you're looking for are already found. You are a king. Am I talking to someone right here?
Yes, sir.
So he was even picked to say, you're eating with me on the table. That was favor. The Bible says on the same day there were government officials in the house of Samuel. But he was so shocked. They were all shocked. There were government officials. But the man was picked to sit next to the prophet. Eating next to the prophet. And the government officials were shocked. So the day the man was being introduced as a king, he had already support from all government officials because they were there when God was exhorting him. They were there when God was endorsing him. He was at a place at the right time. I'm saying this to you because most of you have missed your seasons. Every season you have ever missed, I pray to God of mercy. May he bring back the season in front of you. May you find your season again. I decree and declare, may you find your season again. A season of appointment, a season of upliftment. May you get your season again. Somebody shout out, receive my season. Now let's open the scripture in Isaiah 60 verse 22. Can you read it? What does the Bible say?
A little one shall become a thousand.
Did you hear that? Now. A little one shall become what? Okay, go ahead.
And a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time.
Did you hear the word hasten? Now, give me NIV.
The least of you will become a thousand. The smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do it swiftly.
I will do it how?
Swiftly.
How will God do it?
Swiftly. Do this swiftly.
N-N-L-T. Quickly.
The smallest family will become a thousand people. And the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen.
Simple thing that I want you to see. Small, okay? Small will become what? A thousand. Uh-huh. A few will become
a nation.
But there is something there. It will happen in God's time. So there is a time of God where things multiply from few to thousands. I'm talking to somebody right here. From a little to thousand, from a few to a nation. It will happen in that level. Things will happen just like you had a few. Anything that was few, just boom, it's a lot. Imagine you're operating in this moment of contractual and divine settlement of speed. Imagine what will happen with you. Your little balance in your account. Imagine the Bible says the little one will just boom. You check your account is a whole nation. You are talking about. Imagine your account becomes a nation. Am I talking about somebody right here? He said, a little one shall become a nation. Let's check good news. Can you read it?
Even your smallest and humblest family,
my God,
will become a great as a powerful nation. When the right time comes, I will make this happen quickly.
How will it happen?
Quickly.
So there is the Lord. There is a time of God where things happen how?
Quickly.
You woke up with a little bank account in the evening. Your account is a whole nation. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11. New Living Translation.
I returned. I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry. The skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance.
By being in the right place at the right time. I love that. That's all. That's very kabaya. It's not about your school. It's not because you're very skillful in running. He says it's all about being at right place at the right time. I said, may the time of God locate you. In this time, God's kingdom, in this time of God, the little one can become a thousand. A thousand can become a million. A million can become a billion. I, the Lord, does all these things in my time. Declare speed and favor over that protocol. Ask, which deals are held by unnecessary meetings or approvals or financial capital? Some of you, you are failing to move forward because there's no capital to start your business. So your capital is your protocol that is holding the whole idea of God that God gave you. You need this type of speed that can intercept every protocol and procedure. It has to happen now. Most of you, your delay is on capital. Your delay. I'm talking to somebody right here. Which deals, which areas are held by unnecessary meetings or approvals or financial capital? Declare, God's time of speed is now. Declare that right now. Say, God's time of speed is now. So, because of time, let's not spend much time there. Number two, we said the second speed in the spirit apart from haste is what? Divine acceleration. What does that mean? It means that you are already doing things, but they are slow. And they can be either you are doing things, yes. Either you can just add up how fast things must be done. You can just add up how fast you can be. Or God can accelerate things. And as I said, acceleration simply means to push for more speed. So it's already happening, but it's slow. And when it stays an acceleration, and the good example that I normally use, it is when a person is driving. When you put more pressure, the car will push more. That's acceleration. Now, it will go forward. Now, in the spirit, God can make things happen in that level. But you too can also start pushing things, not just sitting. You can accelerate yourself like, no, I need to start making things happen now. And God says, oh, he's in haste. Then God also pushes things. Because God's things do not require delay. I'm talking to somebody right here. And I gave you a scripture, right? I'm not teaching, I'm repeating this part. What verse did I give you? Amos 9, verse 13.
In Message translation. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast.
My God.
Your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings, blessings, like wine pouring off the mountains and hills.
Now, we haven't even stopped there. Did you hear what the Bible says? It says now, from now. It's not saying yesterday. It says now, things, meaning to say it's an acceleration. Things will just, the step of speed that will begin to happen. It is just changing to just a certain level of speed. May this become your portion. My God. My God. Anybody else who's following this message, wherever you are, raise up your two hands and say, in the name of Jesus. Kaya Maria Moholeve. Lasuke Impraata. No more delays. No more things being slow. I speak and prophesy Divine urgency. In the mighty name of Jesus. Divine urgency. Say amen. Imagine this man of God would speak with God. God would come from heaven sometimes himself and speak himself to them like this. And yet when they see an issue, they would not wait for God to come from heaven and do it. They would be very fast and do it. Did you hear that? We need to wake up. If you have a neighbor, tell your neighbor, you need to wake up. So push that project. Push that idea. Divine urgency. So for the king's business requires haste. Requires divine acceleration. You are here, right? Not just so slow. And it's, in fact, it's you who's even feeling sorry. Like, I don't know why my things. Yeah, it's your things. It's not the king's. Raise your hand and say now, from now. It's not mine. It belongs to the king. Everything I have belongs to my King Jesus. Hallelujah. So from now, it's no longer. Like, imagine you thinking like, oh, everything I have, nothing is moving. And the king says, it's not in my kingdom. It's yours. Stop doing business for you. Begin to say, I'm doing this for the kingdom. I'm doing this for the king. And watch what will begin to happen. Let's see if it fails. Because in heaven, things don't fail. In God's kingdom, things don't fail. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth. Trust me, there's a truth you don't know yet. Thank God, as I'm teaching to you now, there are certain truths that you are knowing. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make you free. He never said angels will come and make you free. He said, there's something you will know that will make you free. And what did he say? He said to the disciples, he said, go around and tell them the kingdom of heaven is near you, and heal them. Because healing is in the kingdom. You didn't hear me. He says, go preach them. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is near you. And heal them of any sickness. Because in the kingdom, there's no sickness. Somebody say, in the mighty name of Jesus, I commit myself. Whatsoever I have, it belongs to the king. Number three, I told you it was what? Prophetic compression. Say compression. To compress, it means to cut certain things. If the line was so long, and we cut it, and I'm standing here as a prophet, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus. Every time that is taking long, it will be cut short. The Bible says in the book of Romans,
for he will finish the work and cut it short.
And cut it how?
Short.
That's what you need. God will cut the work short. What would it take 20 years will be cut and happen in 5 months. And how will he do it? In righteousness. Because the Lord will make a short work upon earth, not a long work. So if everybody else is saying that, no, I'm still waiting, I'm still waiting, God is going to do it, I'm still waiting, let's stop waiting. Let his work be cut short. Let's agree tonight. Raise up a hand and say, Father, I agree with you. Let this be cut short. Let the process be cut short. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, for he will cut the work short. in Mark 13, verse 10, what does the Bible say? Verse 20. It says,
and unless the Lord had shortened those days,
exactly,
no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days.
So God is going to shorten certain things, but not for you. I told you already, for the kingdom. So the Bible says, for his elect's sake, he shortened the days. So if God wanted to bless his chosen people, and you have got a project, and it is you, your money, that is going to bless those elect, his chosen, God will make sure that your business happens fast. He casts the time short so that your money can help his elect. You didn't get it. That's to compress the time. Number four, we said, God in the kingdom operates with immediate speed. This is not competing with the people. This is as they are running towards the place, you have already arrived. You bypass processes, systems. People begin to say, we want to know, how did he make his money? Because when they check at the time, listen, no, we understand he can make money, yes. But when you look at the time and how the things are, no, it doesn't make sense. You arrive, you bypass systems and procedures, you break protocols, the norms are disrupted. Then, no, what type of a CEO is this? You're already there. It's going to be immediate. When you are sick, immediately you get healed. Hello? When you are sick, you get what? How? The immediately type of a speed. Watch the scripture. We read John 6:21.
Then they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going.
Did you hear that? Immediately, Jesus entered the boat. Remember, there was wind. Even Peter was scared. When he looked at the waves, he began to sink. There was wind. Jesus bypassed the storm. Are you here? It's a step of speed. You will bypass financial storms you are facing right now. I know you are facing storms. You have no money. You have got debts. You have got this. You can bypass all the systems and find yourself a day. But there is a point I want you to see with attention, where the Bible says they willingly allowed him to enter the boat. They willingly, underline the word willingly, go in the scripture, they willingly, meaning they had a will not to.
Then they willingly received him
then
into
they
the boat.
Willingly received him into the boat. Now imagine you willingly allowing him to enter your project. Your project will be found at the other side, where you're going. Immediately, your business will get there. I said immediately you find yourself. The Bible says when they willingly. The boat was where they were going. May you arrive where you're going.